In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the great themes of Eastertide is encounter with the risen Lord. And Luke's story of such an encounter on the road to Emmaus provides us with a wonderful way to begin our reflection on this theme. The disciples, with some women, have just learnt in the first 12 verses of chapter 24 that Jesus' tomb is empty. They are, Luke tells us, completely mystified. And we then meet two of them walking disconsolately on the road to Emmaus, talking with each other about everything that had happened, as we learn in verse 14. We learn in verse 17, faces downcast. In short, they are pretty miserable. All the hopes they had invested in Jesus seem to have turned to dust. Jesus had told them, remember, that he would rise again. But let's face it, the idea of a dead body springing to life is pretty difficult for human beings to grasp. I'm struck by the similar situation we find ourselves in today, though, of course, for entirely different reasons. Life at the moment is pretty miserable. The coronavirus has stopped our world in its tracks, overturning in a moment global capitalism's underlying conviction that we can always have more. Endless thousands face the ruin of their businesses with little idea of how they will rebuild their future. We all face the tedium and loneliness of sustained imprisonment in our homes, most especially afflicting those, of course, who live alone. Thousands have lost their loved ones, and many have had the trauma of being separated from their dying relatives, unable to say a final goodbye at all. Having imagined that our technological prowess made us all powerful, in complete control of our destiny, we are finding just how fragile human existence really is, and it's not a pleasant experience. The mood changes completely, however, as Jesus reveals himself to the two disciples along the way. The resurrection, and this is the point, the resurrection changes everything. Death is the boundary of creation, but with the resurrection, death is overcome, and so the boundary moves to offer endless possibility to life. If Christ's resurrection attacks not physical death in this age, for we still die, but all the forces of death in our age, then it offers us hope when we face our afflictions, whatever they may be. This seems to me a particularly powerful message at this moment in our lives when the forces of death are so close to us all. Christ's resurrection tells us that life and love really is stronger than death, despite appearances and despite life's difficult experiences at the moment. There is another aspect to the resurrection worth noting, which is its disruptive power, the aspect of the resurrection developed especially in Paul's writings. And I quote from the first chapter of his first epistle to the Corinthians. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Cross and resurrection for Paul are an indivisible unity. The cross shows what Paul calls the weakness of God, which is, of course, the love of God. And this prepares the way for the resurrection by which the love revealed on the cross is shown to be stronger than death. This disruptive discourse of cross and resurrection reveals the futility of relying on human wisdom for our salvation, which we find only through faith in God. It is a powerful word, as long as Christians avoid any hint of triumphalism. In our present crisis, which surely demonstrates Paul's critique of any trust in human ability to provide the assurance of eternal life, we are truly experiencing disruption. Our hands have been taken off the helm. But we should note that there have been some positives. The climate is recovering, And many have experienced a renewed closeness in their relationships and a renewed appreciation of the value of human fellowship. However, the disruption that Paul talks about of the cross and resurrection is of a different order. It calls us to a different mode of being in which our primary trust is in God, which means a realization that our trust in our human impulse to self-mastery is misplaced. Cross and resurrection, in other words, offer a critique of secular values and a different way of being human. Especially in our materialistic society, cross and resurrection call us away from our trust in possessions to give meaning to our lives. And this implies a re-evaluation of the lowly, the despised, and the marginalized in our world. It's interesting in this connection that the disruption caused by the virus has brought to the limelight society's critical dependence on previously lowly regarded workers, leading to many calls to re-evaluate in monetary terms the importance of so-called low-skilled work when we return to whatever normal life we will find again. The crisis has shown us, in short, that wealth and status are not the true indicators of social significance. In addition, it is important that Christ's resurrected presence is revealed to these two disciples along the road to Emmaus. For as the Jewish philosopher Jacob Tabus put it memorably, and I quote, "Revelation wakens something in creation that is as strong as death and sets against it and against all of creation its new creation," end quote. Tabus goes on to say that what is awakened, and I quote, "is the soul, the unearthly in earthly life itself," end quote. An image I find very powerful. In another place, Tabes talks about, and I quote, "the shift of eternity into time," end quote, which is another way of saying the same thing. The significance of what Tabes points to is this, that we live in two modes of time at once. Time itself is the mode of our immediate experience. Eternity is the mode of resurrection life, which through the cross and resurrection is part of the here and now. But it needs to be nourished through worship and prayer, or we lose any sense of its presence with us in the here and now. The present crisis perhaps makes worship and prayer more difficult, but they are more essential than ever. Amen.